Informational, professional, curious. The roundtable panel. Good morning and welcome.
Did you work on that last night?
No, I wish I had. No, that was much more spur of the moment. Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel. We're collecting our crew here. They're coming in as we speak. It's Thursday, the 20th of August. We welcome you to our program, and we are very hopeful, and I would even say... Well, we're hopeful and
mildly confident.
Yes, confident that you will take part in the discussion. Mildly confident. That's all right. Let me introduce the crew to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Joe, and thanks for allowing me to be here.
All right, here. I'm going to move your mic over there. There you go. There you go. And,
thanks for allowing
me. Yeah, thank you for allowing me to be here. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is in the house. And political consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
How are you? Thank you very much for filling in this morning. I appreciate it. Very
no
nice
problem.
Of you to do that. All right. Let us go to what is happening in the world. And we also want to invite you, our listeners, to get in on the conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Here are... You can tell it's a Thursday in the middle of the summer, boy.
How do you figure?
I had a hard time finding good
stories,
meaty
substantive stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with the fact that I just got a communication from the Copaic General Store.
Ah, excellent. What is the special?
This is
the special today is eggplant. Is the Rail Trail Wrap, which is homemade hummus, tomato, cucumber, and lettuce.
Well, that really is.
They chop up those peas themselves. You know,
the hummus. Yeah. All right.
And do they have any bark from the rail trail in there or no?
Oh, that's not good.
It's a lot of. You need a little roughage.
Leave it to Bernie Sanders to make the jokes.
All right. So,
well, thank you. I guess.
We'll begin with a stroke study.
I don't like this story.
All right. Yeah. So
I hate this story.
Who does?
People who work 55 hours or more per week have a 33%, which I thought that number was
that's
huge,
amazing to
right?
me.
That's a big number. I mean, that means a third of us, right? People who work 55 hours or more per week have a 33% greater risk of stroke and a 13% greater risk of coronary heart disease than those working standard hours, researchers reported on Wednesday. The new analysis includes data on more than 600,000 individuals in Europe, the United States, and Australia, and is the largest study thus far of the relationship between working hours and cardiovascular health. But the analysis was designed to draw conclusions about what caused the increased risk and could not account for all relevant confounding factors.
Yeah, like, do you like your job or not? That seems to me to be a huge one. If you're working under an oppressive situation and you hate your job, then obviously that's different than if you love your job.
Because
I love my job and I'm going to live forever.
Everyone sitting in this table, right, is
the rest
is
of us,
have
however,
a heart
are
attack
at increased,
and a stroke.
Yes.
No. But I agree with Alan. It means that even despite the fact that you might love your job, and I love what I do.
As my mother used to say, you're a carrier.
I'm a carrier?
No, go ahead.
Okay, like a pigeon?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that means all of us are going to have a stroke. All of us sitting around this table. Because
I
all
work in academia. My chances of stroke, of working 55 hours a week, are low.
Oh, that's because you're a union.
Oh. Was that a shot?
No.
Okay.
But it's more the academia part.
Yeah. I work a lot less now.
It's a serious story because there are a lot of people who go to work and have to work. We're talking about minimum wage
and have to work many hours and do that.
But if it's true, then I'm a dead man.
I think this is a really flawed or incompletely presented medical study. Working 55 and a half hours is like a lot over the regular work week. So what are the jobs? Are they minimum wage? I didn't even think of that. I thought they would be like, you know, tech people or people in sit-down jobs there's the complication of not exercising. There's a whole bunch of things to look at.
They'll tell you about men. They'll tell you about women. They'll tell you about African-Americans. They'll tell you about Latino. But they will not, they're not talking to you about job satisfaction.
Right. And the other part of this is the people who work in the low-wage jobs who aren't making enough money, nor do they get health insurance because
correct.
Their employers are
not
playing
doctors,
the game,
right?
They're playing the under 30 hours game or the under 35 hours game. These are the people who work more than one job. They work two or three jobs at 50 to 60 hours a week to make ends meet. And they are under stress.
So that's not actual working too much. That is not being adequately
compensated
for the 40-hour week.
Too much. Right.
Dr. Stephen Kopecky, a professor of medicine in the Division of Cardiology at the Mayo Clinic, said that this analysis did not fully account for the effects of cholesterol, family history, and blood pressure in all cases, so it is possible that long hours are not entirely to blame. Furthermore, he argued, it matters to stroke risk whether an employee has a job with high demands and little control, which researchers call job strain. I want to pick up on something you said earlier, though, that you were talking about academia, and you were saying, well, I don't work as much now as I did
when I was in a news business.
When you were in the news business. So is it cumulative?
Meaning, on the other hand, you have been to a faculty meeting.
That
would take years off your life.
Well, stressful.
Absolutely. But my question being, so does the years that you put in there, you know, account?
Smoking in the past.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Does that,
you know,
still stick with you?
Are the cells grow back, or does it, are you...
That's a good question. So lots of questions on this study, but basically we got to take it easy.
Yeah, well, there is that. But I think there's also, you know, is it cumulative... Is what we did 10, 15 years ago going to kill us tomorrow? You know, it's hard to say with this.
Well, not the working part 10 or 15 years ago.
And what were you doing 10 or 15
nothing,
years ago?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
You weren't doing anything 10
no,
or 15
no,
years
nothing,
ago?
No, nothing to talk about on the radio. Let's
oh,
go.
Okay. Okay, fine. Never mind then.
Jim in Montgomery is very funny. He says, Alan, if you keep up your hectic schedule, you won't make it to 70.
Oops.
And that's funny. Okay, and then, because I'm 74.
You
get it, just in case if you don't. Okay, and Joseph says, it may be inferred that non-union people are at extraordinary risk of stroke and heart attack. Okay, we touched on that, didn't we?
Well, I think people who are in jobs where there is not collective bargaining, where there's not limits put on the workplace, are under much more stress. And they don't get paid as much.
All right. Okay, all right. Anybody have anything on that? Are you?
No.
Are we done on that?
Okay then. Yeah. Well, we may be really done on it. It turns out we could be really done. You know what I mean? As in dead.
A dead done?
Yeah, dead.
Like we're going to walk out of here and everyone's going to stroke
out? Not you.
Out.
Not you.
Well, you never know.
Do you take a little baby aspirin every night?
No.
I do.
No, I take other things every night.
Do you take a little baby aspirin, Joe?
No, I was.
I take other kind of blood things.
Not to do that.
Not to do that.
See, the risk of aspirin is you might bleed.
Right.
Stomach wise, but on the other hand, people like me don't care. I just take that little baby aspirin.
I take other kinds of painkillers that also thin your blood. Like Tylenol
PM. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Right.
Workweek hours vary sharply depending on occupation and company culture. In Gallup surveys in 2013 and 2014, nearly 4 in 10 full-time American workers reported laboring at least 50 hours weekly, and half said they usually work more than 40.
Well, Glenn says, I'd like to know how much time folks spend in exercise when working so much. I do an hour a day, and if I had to get up at 12 o'clock at night, which I've been known to do, to exercise, I would do it. Also, diet. Do people eat as well when they're eating at their desks? Alan, sorry to say, I believe job satisfaction would be moderated by these variables.
Yeah, I think that's right. My problem is just the opposite. I don't exercise enough and I sit too much. So I have back issues, which is, you know, very different.
And here is wonderful Michael, who always is the voice of reason. And he says, it seems people who love their jobs develop health problems when they retire and have nothing to do.
Also a good point.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back and continue our conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Barrington Stage Company, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, presenting His Girl Friday, adapted by playwright John Guare, a screwball comedy playing through August 30th on the Boyd Quinson main stage, barringtonstageco.org. Planned Parenthood Mid-Hudson Valley, providing sexual and reproductive health and education services in Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, and Sullivan counties for over 80 years, ppmhv.org. and Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable, roundtable at WAMC.org. If you would like to join us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us continue on with stories making news, and we won't begin. We'll continue with the story, actually. Let's talk about HUD for a second. Anybody want to talk about HUD?
Yeah.
Okay. After criticism, HUD says it's trying to give the boot to public housing families who earn too much money. This is from the Washington Post. In response to an unsparing audit by its watchdog, the Department of Housing and Urban Development has flipped its stance and now says it is urging housing authorities nationwide to evict tenants who earn too much to qualify for government subsidies. The initiative represents an about-face from the agency's earlier response to the audit by HUD's Inspector General. That review found that more than 25,000 tenants make more than the maximum income allowed to qualify for public housing.
And, of course, what they always do is find the great example.
Right.
And there's an example of a family making over $400,000 was living in subsidized public housing. Now, you know, when it's happening in New York, that's really, really what they say, the Yiddish word, what is it? A shandal. It's a shame. Terrible. Don't you think?
That they're allowed to stay in there? Or does this actually artificially create in a HUD development the kind of community that you would have normally with rich people and poor people all living together?
Well, that's part of what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a chicken and the egg kind of thing. You know, first of all, they haven't raised the poverty rate in years. So some of these factors are based on a poverty rate that is totally false.
Artificially low.
It's artificially low. You know, should somebody who's making $400,000 a year live in this housing? No. Should somebody who's making 100% more than the minimum? Yes.
Right. Well, you know, Libby, I've thought about this a lot over the years. The whole Mitchell Lama movement in New York State was to make sure that you didn't ghettoize just the poorest people.
That's
so
right.
You would set up these houses. My mother sponsored one on 96th Street between Columbus and Amsterdam Avenues. And the whole idea was that poor people, there was a certain number of poor people who would be in there, a certain number of middle-class people. And that way, you didn't end up, as has happened in so many cities, having these places which become breeding grounds for crime and everything else, and then just having to tear them down.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that right here in Albany and in other places. So there's a certain amount of logic to allowing people of different kinds to come into
economic status.
That's what I meant. Come into this. You know, I have seen so many things which have unintended consequences. You know, happen in Mitchell Lama, for example. The idea was you would get a great apartment and you'd get it at a very low price, and when you left, you would sell that apartment back to them at the price you paid for it.
Oh, sure.
Well, what happened was, of course, all those Mitchell Lama people were hearing from people saying, you know what this apartment is worth now? And getting together, they go to the legislature and to the government, and they say, we want to be able to sell our apartments. We knew the rules coming in, but now we want to be able to sell our apartments at market rates. And guess what? Since nobody's on the other side, and because all of these influential people are sort of pushing legislators and stuff, they say yes. Unbelievable.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the government enforcing rules that have been clearly delineated and make a lot of sense. The problem that I have with this is that we keep going after poor people. We keep going after them and blaming them rather than looking at the things that are done against them. Why do we hate poor people in this country?
It's a part of the American ethic.
I mean, that $400,000 example you use, Alan, is just what I'm talking about. That is certainly not common to the experience of most of the people that we're talking to. and yet it's used like welfare queens.
Which
you
is,
know, there's massive abuse. It just is not there.
No.
And that's why I find this offensive, although at base, why am I against it? This housing should be for people who really need it. And apparently, in many cases, it is not. It's just the way it's the attack.
Well, there's a zero vacancy rate in New York City.
Right.
Zero.
On waiting lists.
And so not only in public housing, but in anything.
Right.
So de Blasio, when he comes in, the first thing he starts talking about is we got to get more housing. So it makes a certain amount of sense to be in those cases to go to HUD and to have HUD saying, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, I think there was this notion, like with Mitchell Lama, you know, it was the great social experiments, the great society experiment, that we would all figure out a way of living together. But we've become so polarized, and people look for the welfare queen. They look for the $400,000 income
because
so that
Rosemary
they can
says,
demonize the entire
right.
program.
Exactly.
And this program, I mean, look, what would happen if we had low-income people living with middle-income people, and there would be better role models and the ability for people to bootstrap and work with their neighbors and garner more skills, we'd be in a much better situation. We'd be in a much better society. But, you know, people get pigeonholed, and that's the end of it.
So we heard from Bobby, who says, Donald Trump's hate-mongering and two young men beating up on homeless Hispanic man. Let's talk about two young men beating up on a homeless Hispanic man. It is the first casualty of Donald Trump's hate-mongering against Hispanics, the beating and urinating on a homeless Hispanic man in South Boston. Hate-mongering works. Hitler did it. Republicans do it. Bill O'Reilly. Well, it says here, O, apostrophe L-I-E, O'Reilly. Rush Limbaugh, Fox News casters do it. This is so scary and disgusting. And Judy says, I would like to see a 10 or 20-year follow-up study on the rates of early death and suicides among former Amazon employees. A young member of my family recently started working there, and I am very concerned about the company's ruthless corporate culture and lack of unions contributing to this, a la the recent New York Times article. Thank you for discussing this important issue.
All right. Well, let's take a break there, actually, and we'll come back and we'll get to more letters and more topics at hand. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll continue this conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is with us.
Yo!
Also, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and it's great to have everybody here, and we thank you for joining us this morning. We want to talk about two stories. One is the Jared Fogel story, which I thought was an interesting story because it was we heard about the raid on his house, and then the story kind of just dropped off, and you didn't know what was going on. And then yesterday, you realized that, well, a lot had been going on, and that is Jared Fogel, who for years served as the spokesman for the sandwich chain Subway, is facing federal charges that he repeatedly paid to engage in sexually explicit acts with children, and that he received and distributed child pornography. Fogel, 37, will plead guilty to the charges. His attorney said Wednesday he will also pay $1.4 million to 14 victims in restitution for counseling, support, treatment, or other assistance related to their victimization. And going to jail for, I believe, at least 5 years, am I correct?
I read 11 somewhere, up to 11.
Up to 11,
no,
but
up
at
to
least
20.
But at least five,
at least
right?
five, I think up to 20. But the court, the judge can say you're going for a lot longer if he or she wants to.
The documents allege that Fogel received images and videos of nude children from Russell Taylor, who served as executive director of Fogel's childhood obesity charity. Taylor also distributed pornographic images of children who are as young as six to Fogel, according to the documents. So, not to slant this in any one way, but basically what seems to have happened here is this man who lost a lot of weight, he said, by eating healthy through
Turkey
Subway
subs.
at Subway when he was in college. lost 200 pounds, had the big pants, did the whole thing, became the spokesman for and the image of Subway sandwiches, and made a lot of money.
$15 million he's worth.
I didn't even realize.
15, 1-5.
Yeah. Okay, a lot of money. All right, so
more than I've gotten.
So he goes and then so he sets up this charity, and he hires the guy to run the charity, who has a studio where he's making the child pornography, and not only that, but also is selling the child pornography, and then is funneling it to funneling to Jared Fogle, mm-hmm. Who then also is setting up these encounters with children who are, as he said in one of the emails that they found, the younger the better, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids who were brought to New York City hotels, I believe the Plaza, the Ritz-Carlton in New York. So a very disturbing story. I guess my take on it, or what I'd like to talk about this morning, is what a company does when you put all of your eggs in that basket, mm-hmm. where you have this one guy.
Does this make you not want to eat Subway anymore?
No.
Well, no, because I think the company distanced itself so fast, yeah. and did such a great job in their communication.
Is that true?
Yes.
I have a question. There were indications that he had this little problem long ago. And don't they have some responsibility before they give someone $15 million to check them out thoroughly?
They from what I've read, they knew that he had an internet porn site company when he was in college. That it didn't say anything
that
about
child porn.
That seems
like red flag to me.
It does seem like red flag, but, you know, for some, that's not a red flag. Just regular porn is not a red flag.
Not illegal.
Okay, right. There's the first lesson let's take away from this.
Right.
If you're going to make someone your company spokesman, you kind of want a background.
Right. And you don't want somebody involved.
Well, I think they had background. They had done the background, but not the continued background. And obviously, he had been their spokesman for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's been going on.
I want to know if he really lost the 200 pounds now. Is that all?
Oh, yeah, no.
Which, of course, brings us to just another subject, which we're not going to talk about, which is that they think they found the fat gene, which means that some people can't lose it because they are storing it as opposed to burning it.
Right.
We'll talk about that in
the future.
That's
a really interesting new development.
I'm storing it. Yeah,
I don't know. How do you get back from this? It is a really interesting public relations story to me. They have had a disaster, or is it? I mean, is Jared so closely connected to Subways that I can't buy a turkey sub without thinking child porn?
No, he's not, because they have done other marketing initiatives above and beyond Jared. Jared is about the healthy part of Subway. But the $5 footlongs. Yeah, well, true.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you know, they marketed themselves as a healthy alternative to fast food.
Mm-hmm.
But they have other marketing initiatives as well.
Yeah, it's called bread.
Right, bread. I mean, but it's the $5 footlongs, all kinds of different things that they're doing. I haven't seen him be as prominent in the last few years in Subway's marketing as he once was.
Yes, and he was doing more with this on behalf of childhood obesity than he was on and actually.
And he was old hat.
Sandwiches.
I mean, he has been there forever.
Right, he has been there forever, so it's nothing new. But I just want to apologize that the federal prosecutors had promised not to ask for a sentence greater than 12 and a half years, but the judge. The charges carry 20 years for child porn and 30 years for child sex charges. So if the judge wants to, he can hit him with a 50-year sentence to run consecutively and not concurrently.
Well, if he's pleading guilty, that means he's arrived at a plea deal with him.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the judge has to
take it.
The
judge doesn't have to accept it.
Well, no,
that's
right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, in a way,
most of the time they do.
They do, but
in a way, this story shows that the system worked. He did a terrible thing. He's now been caught and is about to be punished.
Well, as someone said to me the other day, when the feds get involved, they've got like a 98% success rate.
Absolutely.
You don't argue with them.
Right.
You're not going to get out of it once they get involved.
Joe Bruno did.
So Subway has no responsibility in
that's
this.
That's 2%.
Subway had was not.
I don't know if they
not,
had. Well, Subway certainly did not. All I can say is that when this story broke, from the time that the right. that the head of his charity was arrested,
right.
Subway has acted in a very proactive way of saying that I thought that they handled it as best they could handle it.
I don't like making a corporation look like they did a really great thing. What else could they have done?
Well, that's
Joe?
Right.
Come
but,
on.
Well, they what could they have done? They could yeah. have, well, we're going to stand by him. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to look what NBC did for so long with Trump. Look at what yeah. so many other companies have done. We're going to stand by this person. He's great. They're making a ton of money. They didn't.
And
they
distanced.
They distanced themselves really quick, and mm-hmm. said enough.
Right. Joe, we got a letter from Jorley, who set up a topic I know you want to talk about, which is, did you guys hear about Josh Duggar's two profiles of the Ashley Madison mm-hmm. website?
That was the next story. So also ashleymadison.com is a website where men and women go on it to have, quote-unquote, discreet affairs. So the way it is marketed.
I've lived too long. Sorry.
Well, if you will remember, following the Elliot Spitzer debacle, Ashley Madison was the company that put the ad in the New York Times that said, had Governor Spitzer used Ashley Madison,
he'd
still be governor today. So
maybe not.
Oh my God.
Maybe not. Right. Okay. So Ashley Madison goes on. Now, what I found out yesterday. In the reading the Josh Duggar story. Okay, so first of all, Ashley Madison is a site. So people go on Ashley Madison if they want to have an affair. By the way, if you want to be repulsed, listen to their advertising. It is all over, and it's disgusting. So it's basically like, oh, honey, I just looked at your iPad, and I saw your Ashley Madison account. I know. I need sex, and you won't give it to me. Okay, I'll let you go out. I mean, that's it. It's really repulsive. Okay, so
who do they think they
sounds
are?
Like yippee.
So now so Ashley Madison has this whole database. Yeah. Now, by the way, not cheap. I think the Josh Duggar was spent something a couple $1,000 on this.
He kind of ran out of sisters, you know.
Yeah,
he had
I
to
know
do
it's
it.
Hard. Yeah.
Well, so come on, let's tell everybody, including me, who Josh Duggar is.
Hold on. So you have the site. So then Ashley Madison gets hacked. So then everybody knows who's on their client list.
Wow.
Well, one of the people who's on the client list is Josh Duggar, who is the star of this 19 Kids and Counting on TLC.
Right.
Well, of course, I must have missed that show.
Well, you will remember that Josh Duggar was was arrested. Was he charged or not charged?
No.
Not charged with.
I do remember.
The parents went to the police and offered him up, and he.
Well, after
he redeemed himself.
After it all came out.
Yeah. Right.
They've lost their
show.
Empire.
Right.
And now they're pitching a show, a reality show of them being sexual abuse counselors.
Right. And which, you know, so again. Oh, by the way, to your point, you know, TLC stayed on with them for a very long time before they let that show go. I mean, they eventually let it go.
Unlike Subway.
Unlike Subway. But they did let the show go. And so anyway, we found out yesterday that on this list of hack names was Josh Duggar, who is the
son,
the Conservative Party's poster child for many years. Who would go to a top fundraiser, who would come in, and there was a great weeks ago.
He used to work for either the American Family Association or the Family Research Council, one or the other.
Worked very hard in against legalizing gay marriage and also in other conservative causes, and would do fundraisers for many Tea Party Republicans.
Mm-hmm. So does this mean that there is a God?
There is a God.
I think that is what this means. Yes. I mean, it was. It's interesting. First of all, does anybody feel bad that Ashley Madison, that people who had accounts so that they could cheat on their spouses, got hacked and was given up? No, I don't feel bad about that. Rosemary?
I'm trying to think if I feel bad about it.
Yeah,
like
me too.
If I were one of those people, I would feel plenty bad. And if I knew someone who I liked, I'd feel pretty bad. But I don't know anybody there.
But if you're cheating, you figure you're going to get caught, right?
Yeah, cheating is part of the possibility of getting caught is part of the excitement of cheating.
Right. So if you're
so now deal with it.
Well, is there a difference between having the account hacked and having the names released, or having a neighbor see you in Starbucks?
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
What?
Say that again.
Is there a difference between if you are trying to hide an affair and the account gets hacked and your name comes out as someone who is having an affair?
Right.
Or if you're having an affair and somebody sees you in Starbucks.
Sees you with your honey in Starbucks. Right. No, there's no difference. And really, once again, this is a lesson. And do not trust private information to cyberspace. It just does not protect you.
Right. That's a very
The only difference is this. The neighbor sees you. And there's no guarantee the neighbor's going to say anything to the spouse. The hacking is public information, and the spouse can go look and get the direct information.
Well, I mean, I think that can work either way. I mean, also, the neighbor can also put a picture up on Facebook, which is
known
to happen.
If you're checking sites to find out if your spouse is on a list, then you've got problems already.
Right.
So
it's like people who don't want gay marriage.
So Tom writes in his usual pithy way, karma, baby, karma.
Speaking about Ashley Madison.
As in karma,
Not
comma as in the grammatical.
No.
Do we have anything else?
Yes. Patsy says, good morning. I'm more upset that he may be allowed to make a deal and not serve prison time. He may be allowed to pay huge restitution. Money can never restore their innocence and emotional stability to these child victims.
He's going to jail.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's going to jail.
And we made that plain.
Yeah.
He should go to prison, in my opinion. Guess money may talk, as usual. Disgusting if that occurs. Patsy. Okay.
He'll go to jail. His wife immediately has filed for divorce.
Yeah. He's toast.
He is going to pay.
Right.
Do you think he's, mentally ill? This one is a tough one.
I don't know.
Because, usually, you see something like this and you say, okay, this is the way the guy was wired. And I think to some degree that may be true. But on the other hand, there's really no excuse for what he did to those kids.
No. And he'll go to jail, and if he makes it out alive, he'll come back out as perhaps a Bible-thumping preacher.
Won't be the first time.
He will come back out still a pederast, because I do think it is a form of mental illness that we do not have a grip on. They don't know how to fix it other than chemical castration or physical castration, which is cruel in a different way. And instead of just having complete disgust for them, they do disgusting things. But our reaction ought to be to study them and try to stop this, to cure it.
Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Monticello Licensed Real Estate Broker, 80 Davis Avenue, Albany. Utilizing professional photographs, custom websites, and internet marketing to help sell Capital Region homes, MonticelloNYS.com. The office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, serving the Hudson Valley since 1986, WoodstockDentist.com. And Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, using food scraps and yard waste to create nutrient-rich compost that helps conserve water, control weeds, and reduces need for chemical fertilizers. Compost now available at the agency, ucrra.org.
Got a letter or two to catch up on, and then we'll go to our final story this morning, which is about Hillary Clinton and email, and we'll talk about that
Okay, so Joel says, Joe, thank you. I have been through Ranger School and Sapper School in the late 90s. I congratulate the two females that have completed the training course. However, training is not combat. Currently, four males are being held captive in Iran. I think we should do everything possible to get these men out, but for some reason, it is not a priority for this administration. What if these were females being held captive? Are we ready for female POWs? Why do only 18-year-old men, males have to sign up for selective service? Are we ready for females being drafted?
Yes, and yes, and yes.
We discussed this story yesterday, but yeah.
This is a relatively new thing in media coverage that we cover war as if it were individual crime. So there's four men missing here or two women captured there, and the whole war is supposed to stop while we do a rescue. That's not the way combat works. All the talk of self-sacrifice and giving yourself up is that you may lose four men here or two women there. And I think people who go into the military accept that as a danger. Mm-hmm. And so to say, no, you can't go, little woman, because they might rape you as well as torture you, is just crazy. I think these women are well aware of the risks they take and are willing to do it, and we ought to say thank you to them.
Even among criminals, there is a certain honor and certain things they won't stand for. Jared will go to jail. He probably won't make it out. We mentioned that. You mentioned that, I think, Rosemary, a few seconds ago, or Libby. Hi, gang. Just wondering if anyone could get on Ashley Madison using an alias. How difficult would it be to buy a Trek phone and create a profile using someone else's name? Not saying Duggar is innocent by any stretch, just wondering.
He actually had two accounts, two aliases. According to the information that was hacked, both those sites were to his address and billed to his credit card. So it seemed like it was legit. The name that is used on the site is any name that you make up. It isn't, but it is then traced back to an actual person.
You could probably trace it back to again, a computer as
to the,
well.
To the point of, you know, could you go through it with somebody else's? I guess you could, but again, and I didn't mention this before, this is actually what makes it really horrible, is that you pay extra money if you want what they call a guaranteed affair. So if you want to make sure that you actually, they will guarantee the fact that you will have a discreet affair, and you pay more money for that, which he did.
With women that they probably pay?
Well.
Have you ever been that lusty that you would resort to this?
Oh. It's,
I can't remember.
It's weird. It's a very, and their terminology is very strange because it almost becomes like a point system. Like if you have so many points in by the money that you pay, then you're able to achieve this guarantee.
There's also a P word. There's a certain P word that goes through my mind here, which is as in prostitution.
Yeah, well, that's what I
mean. If you're going to guarantee something, you know,
that's
the way to do that.
Women that they're going to pay.
It also occurs to me, Joe, that you know an awful lot about this.
Yes, well, absolutely.
Deep research, huh?
Bonnie says, panel, a wealthy household living in subsidized housing is like a huge SUV with standard plates parked in the second of only two handicapped spaces. There we are. And Anonymous says, most likely, those people who are being reported as making a big salary represent a collective salary. In other words, it represents every person in this household. I'd like to know if they did meet the income guidelines when they moved in, and now that their children have become adults and still live there, thus including all the salaries of the people in the household. Just a thought, says
good.
Anonymous.
Good one.
And Matt says, instead of fair and balanced, Fox News motto should be, we find people you want to hate and help you hate them.
Speaking of Fox News,
sir,
the Clinton campaign seized on two emails highlighted in Fox News report Wednesday, telling reporters in a hastily arranged conference call that the information in that story bolsters Clinton's contention that she did not use her home-based private email system for classified communications. See, I'm not guilty because Fox said so.
Hey, you take it where you can get it.
What do we think of this?
Campaign Press Secretary Brian Fallon said Clinton was merely, quote, a passive recipient of material that later became the subject of what he characterized as a bureaucratic squabble over classification.
Well, if that's true, then she's off the hook. But if she sent the stuff or in any way encouraged it, I think she's in trouble.
There's the whole thing. It's this drip, 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 drip. My mother this morning said, I'm getting a little
disenchanted.
Yeah, that's the
word. You're going to bring her here.
I know. I do have to bring her sometimes. Mm-hmm. She's got good insights. But she's getting disenchanted with Hillary. And we said, why? And it's because she keeps hearing things. And it's the same empty things. Oh, she had a lot of emails. She had them on the wrong server. Again, there's nothing substantive yet that I've heard that makes me want to say, oh, I got to switch. Mm-hmm. You?
No. No, because there isn't anything substantive here. It's been clear.
Right.
You know, Colin Powell did this. Madeleine Albright did this. Many of the secretaries of states, once email became something that people knew how to use,
exactly,
did this. And so they're just focusing on her because she's running for president, and then her last name is Clinton.
And if they did have an email where, look what she did, she gave out secrets on X, whatever it is, we would know what those were. We wouldn't know what it said exactly, but we would know the topic. And I've not heard that yet. We did with Petraeus, who really did pass on secrets.
Right.
We did hear what he was passing on.
You know, when John Kerry says, I know the Chinese are hacking my email.
Yeah.
I mean,
isn't that an argument for hiding your email?
Right.
There was also, just because we only have about 2 minutes, but there was an AP story that I was reading last night, and it just surprised me because the headline of the article was support for Sanders climbs as Clinton takes a dip. And the article says the Democratic primary race might finally be starting to heat up. Bernie Sanders is gaining ground on Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton, according to a new CNN poll, which shows support for the Vermont senator has grown 10 points since July. And you go through this whole thing, boom, 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 boom. And meanwhile, when you finally get to the bottom of the list,
bottom line, basically.
The bottom line is that her percentage is still 40%, and his percent is only 28.
Right. Yeah. So give it a rest.
That does not seem to me to be that it's heating up.
Well, let's put it this way: it's better than when he started, which is almost nothing.
But I'm just, you know, the way that is all worded certainly makes it seem like it's suddenly a neck and neck horse race.
Yeah. Somebody, Paul, wanted to know, where was the press coverage of Cheney's multi-million-dollar email flush? Do you remember that?
I don't recall.
I recall it at the time, but it was, you know, like many things,
time
they
ago.
Go away.
Okay, homework. We'll have to check that out.
All right. We'll have time for homework because we're out of time for this break, but we thank you very much for joining us.
Right.
Libby, Rosemary, Alan, thank you all very much. We will be back tomorrow. The roundtable will continue after this.